Are you ready to bless your descendants? You believe that what they need is the blessing of God? If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
What if I don't have children yet? Don't worry about it. They are coming. Did you hear what I said? They are coming. Anything you declare now, you know, the word of God is never wasted. It goes into the air and it hangs out there until somebody comes to make use of that word. If God says he's going to do something, it will be done. What did I say? The difference is whose life? In whose life? If God says you inherit the promised land, there is a he and she that will inherit the promised land. But he may be telling one person like that, pointing to somebody like this, and the person does not inherit it. I said that word failed. It didn't fail. What happened was that God removed the person and put somebody else. Somebody else received that word and he blessed the person. The word of God never, ever, 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 it does not ever happen that it falls to the ground. All right? What God will just say is that I'm going to find somebody who's more, which word do I use now? Who's more qualified? Thank you. Who that word fits more. But that word will come to pass. So it took the children of Israel to the promised land, and then one day said, let me destroy all of them. And Moses was worried. What about the promise? Don't worry about the promise. I raise another generation to inherit the promise. You get what I'm going to say? Anything that God plans will eventually come to pass. Our duties are right individually. What we must do is to ensure that it comes to pass in our own lives. That's just what it is. All right? So back to what we're saying. Declare these words. Your children will come next year, 5 years, whatever be your own agenda. They will come and they will receive it and they will be blessed. Did you hear what I said? It will affect them. You may have forgotten some of the things that you'll be saying. Now your son will arrive and he will be filled with the spirit from the mother's womb. You'll be wondering what happened. It will be because you have been obeying and, all right, declaring the word of God. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
All right, we're talking about, and this is our school of prayer, what to do concerning blessing your generations. That is the generations after you. Don't ever forget, what God wants to do in your life does not end with you. It begins, or it began before you, or let's just take the one that's starting with you, and it's going to continue in those who are coming after you. We are speaking specifically about your natural descendants, your children you are going to have. But these principles, a lot of them also apply to those who are your spiritual descendants. And that is a matter of fact. Last time I began to explain it, and I remember I started by saying that we are doing this. Why did I begin to teach this? The school of prayer. Just by the way, I just realized the more I think about life, the more I listen to messages, the more I study the scriptures, I think the church needs to get it right concerning how to pray properly. Because prayer is very important. The church needs to get it right concerning how to pray properly. Let me just leave it like that. The church needs to get it right. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to grow faint or get tired or lose heart. The reason why he emphasized it is because the things that God wants to do on the earth will not be done except people pray about them. God promised something is not enough, all right, as the reason why it will come to pass. The reason is because the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons, to the children of men. And this is the idea. God's word is in the heavens. That's how it is. So he taught the people to pray. Say this, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded or written or declared or spoken in heaven. That is, God has spoken something in the heavens. Except you pray that prayer. And that prayer is not just a nebulous prayer like thy will be done. When you discover the will, speak to that will to be done. What you are doing is that you are downloading that which is in the remote server in heaven. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
I hope you understand enough computer science to get that point. All right? The remote server is the heavenly end. And it contains the will of God. And God gives you an interface, your browser, that's in prayer. What you need to do, all right, is to click to download. Your prayer, when you say amen, you are activating the downloading of the will of God onto this earth. So many times we sit down and we are watching the will of God in the remote server. We don't do anything about it and it does not come to pass. That's why I'm telling you, please, go and listen to that message again. Poor Jonah, activating prophecies by prayer. God said he was going to deliver the people of Israel after 40 years. At the end of 40 years, when it was coming to an end, actually, Daniel began to study, and he discovered in the prophecies of Jeremiah the number of the years that the Lord promised, all right, that he determined concerning the desolation of Jerusalem. Then he began to pray. It was his prayer that activated the deliverance that was promised. Prayer, that's how it works. One, there must be a promise. Two, there must be a prayer. It is when the two of them combine that you have results on the earth. Don't ever neglect it. One, to note the promises of God, and two, to declare them in prayer. That's how it is. That's when we talk about people reminding God. It's not as if God forgets, but you must understand what Pastor Chris those days, he would tell us about, that's the first time I heard the word, but it's actually a theological terminology. He talked about anthropopathism. That is, what is anthropopathism? That is, when you try to describe God using the characters of man. You understand my point? When you see that it repented God or God felt bad, we are trying to, all right, explain God through our own way of feeling. Do you understand my point? So when the Bible says that you should remind God, it was not as if God forgets. He can't forget. You must understand, the very character of God implies that he cannot forget. But when you are observing him from the angle of your life, sometimes it will appear as if he has forgotten. You get my point? And so that's why you now begin to remind. But what you're actually doing is not really to remind him as if he forgot, but you are activating the thing that is stored, like that computer, you know, language, the thing that is stored on the remote server. You want it to come down to your own personal hard disk, which is your life. Are you getting my point? You have to download it down. So you look at your hard disk, your software is not up to date, all right, according to the word of the Lord. So you look and say, what is going on? You check any updates available. Do you understand my point? And then you find that there are updates. So you, what you now do, you download the updates. So you know, maybe you use an Android device. They say the Android 4.4, whatever it is, KitKat is out. You look at your device. You look at your neighbor's device. Some things are happening on your neighbor's device that are not happening on your device. What is wrong with your device? Is it no longer an Android device? Well, that you have not yet updated. So he said, let us now remind Google. It's not zero Google forgot. The thing is on the remote server. Are you getting my point? Assume that maybe you use a Samsung or use an LG. It's not as if they forgot. The thing is on the remote server. But you have not yet downloaded it so as to update your life. Do you get what I'm going to explain? Yes, you need to update your life. Tell your neighbor, you must update your life. This is how you check for updates. What is it? An update is that which you did not discover until now. It is not like normal, you know, it's not a modern day computer that God is writing something new. No. This is how it is. God has written all the updates. An update is that which you did not discover until now. I like these devices. Hey, look at this. Head. Automatic update, you know, check for updates and notify me, you know, stuff like that. Listen, this is how spiritual things are. The updates are all manual. There's no automatic updates. You know why you are here this evening? Manual updates. You have come for what? Manual updates. You have to come by yourself and come and decide, I want to find something out. So you see, the updates, all right, in spiritual things, they are manual updates. There's no automatic update. You have to come up here and be updated. You have to take a Bible and be updated. You have to buy a CD somewhere, put it into your player, and be updated. You have to collect something from your friend and say, Israel, you mean you had these materials, you didn't give us things. You will go there, collect it, and be updated. And once you've seen the update, you've heard the update, what is on God's remote server, it is now your duty to, with prayer, click to download. Are you getting my point? You have to update your life all the time. And there's always an update. The path of the just is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter. And it's from one level of glory to another. It is as you discover that you move from one level of glory to another. The movement is not automatic. It is discovery that lifts you up to the next level. Are you getting my point? Listen, like we're talking about how to bless your descendants. Maybe as at last month, you were still thinking that, God, though, you know, let me tell you something, the way God operates. We'll get to our meeting, our teaching in a moment. Let me just talk many things that come to my mind. One of the ways God operates, let me tell you something quickly. Tell your neighbor this, all right? Say, you have enough. Tell the person, you have enough. Point to the person, don't just do like this. Point. You have enough. You have it. Tell the person, you are not poor. You are not lacking. Grace is sufficient for you. You have all sufficiency in all things. And you are bound to every good work. Tell the person, believe it. Because it's true. Yeah, now do that. Tell her, I believe it. Say, that's my portion too. It's very important. The reason why I said that. Many times in life, people are lacking, not because they are not, God hasn't supplied enough. But let me summarize like this. They don't understand spiritual management. Yes. You know, I said the other day, I want to buy a car, so everything is difficult now. Change your shirt, I can't. Why? I'm buying a car. So you are wearing a torn shirt. You should know that that car is not a blessing. It's a problem. Let me just warn you ahead of time. It won't bless you when you buy it. A car that doesn't let you wear a decent shirt or give somebody a decent shirt, when you buy it, the engine will knock. I was wondering, are you cursing me? I'm warning you. It's not a curse. May God remove competition from your heart. The desire to impress somebody else. God, you know, you get some kind of blessing where God gave me long ago. May you have it too. Let me tell you the kind of blessing it is. I never believed I should impress anybody. Really. Maybe my issue was, and which is the will of God. It was God that did it. My issue was I felt too good with myself. I don't know. Are you getting my point? I used to feel pipe all the time. You know what it means to feel pipe? Okay, but you can guess what it means. You'll be feeling airy, you know? You'll wake up, you're happy. You feel like all the angels are serving you. You know that kind of thing? Which is the truth. It's not a lie. So I never understood why I should try to impress anybody. Why? The only person I was competing with for a very long time until now is myself. The banker of today must be better than the banker of yesterday. You get my point? You know, if I find out, I discover by chance, by accident, that people were more blessed 10 years ago than they are blessed today when I'm preaching, there's a problem. I don't know if you get my point. Yes, there's a problem. Not with them, with me. It's not possible I've been preaching for all this number of years. I am not more fluent, more confident. You know, I'm not bragging, but I thank God. You can give me 2 minutes notice to preach to anybody on this earth. I will accept the invitation. And I won't go to any corner to go and say, hey, go. Oh, let's say, oh, give me the mic. But somebody borrow me a Bible there. I don't have to come with one. It's by reason of use. You get my point? So I keep competing with myself. That's the point I'm making. Once I'm making, you know, I love the Japanese, the Toyota, this is a Kazon, Kazai. What's that thing? Continual improvement. You know, Toyota believes in it. That whether we are the only ones selling cars or not. And if you go and check, that was the principle of people like Henry Ford. It's continual improvement. Whether I'm competing with you or not is besides the point. As long as I constantly improve. Now, back to where I went into that. So, the issue is that God, life is in phases. We've talked about that before. So, anytime you are in distress, especially financially, relax and ask yourself, what's going on? Where did I stretch my hand that does not belong to today? Are you getting my point? It may be that the quality of cosmetics you are using is too expensive. Yeah, it sounds funny. I'm serious about it. So, why are you using Mary Kay? If you can't afford it, don't use it. They are not cheap. Somebody said that when a woman cries, it's expensive. A teardrop like this is wiping out. This guy began to list the cost of the things that's been wiped off. Some people are putting in this way. Just join a kind of church for once they are preaching good word. Go to just say, don't use earring. You go to hellfire and say, good. This one, I'm going to stay here for 5 years until the economy improves. After that, the revelation will change. Once you remove all those, don't wear the wear that. It's a good church. The man preaches good word. There's a particular denomination we I know very well. Once they remove some other externalities, good word. Just to tune and watch him on TV. Just go there for a while and then be listening to tapes. Sister Angie, you won't buy gold? No, they don't wear it in our church. You're not lying. They don't wear it in your church. Whatever it is, pull your life out of distress. Are you getting my point?
Yeah.
But if you're like me, you don't need to join any church. Any church you like, you go to. No, that's how my own life is. So, are you not buying this? No. Why? I don't have the money. Don't marry me if you don't want to. That's your problem. I'm still going to be rich in life. You are the one that will be regretting later. Don't worry about it. No, that was always my attitude. I did not have any problem with that. How come you have not bought a car? I've checked it. I added my salary together. I did everything. At the end of the day, I can't afford a good one. And I'm telling you this, I don't care whether you're a woman or a man. You can't look down on me. I was feeling too happy. I don't know whether you get my point. I was always feeling too happy. And in case I feel depressed, all I need to do is collect one Oyedepo message. And you listen to it, you'll be happy. You ask somebody 10 million, I know if I just call you now and say, look, here's 10 million, the Lord spoke to me to give it to you. You know how happy you'll be? Yes. But David said that, I rejoice at your word. Like somebody who just got dashed 10 million naira. You're feeling depressed, you throw in one message and listen to the description of your destiny. When you see it, you'll be happy. And you come and say, oh, all those of you are laughing at me, where are you? I just discovered that I'm greater than all of you unless you believe like me. That's it. You take unnecessary pressure out of your life. It's very important. I know where I digress into that. I just need to emphasize this to people again. That's why I said that, look, you have enough. Life is in phases. If you understand that, when you pray, look, that's when you'll be able to pray genuine, good prayers. And God will always answer you. One of the reasons why God finds it hard to answer people, if it was possible, all I've said, he's confused. Are you getting my point? When they hear some prayers, say, God, in the name of Jesus, say, waiting. You can do release it to me. Release what? The latest model Toyota Sequoia. God said, where are you driving it to? And you know, the Lord, he knows you inside out. So he's confused. That's what I mean by, in quotes, confused. What does this boy want to do with it? You want to impress confused people like yourself. And God does not engage in such activities. This my son is confused. Let me join him in his confusion and impress those that he doesn't like, who don't care about him, who even hate him because of the car. That's why he's been unable to answer many prayers. Look, tell your neighbor, relax. You are blessed. No kind. Sorry, do you know the meaning of no kind? You know the meaning of no kind? No wahala. Okay, let me give you another one. Say, nothing spoil. they don't use slangs like that. These days, slangs don't spoil. I don't know what they use now. That's all we know when we were in university, when you're leaving school, that they say, nothing spoil. Say, don't worry, nothing spoil. So tell your neighbor, nothing spoil.
Nothing spoil.
It is well with you.
Well with you.
Let me tell you again, unless you did not listen to me, unless it was not from, because I am anointed, I'm not kidding, but that's not supposed to be a joke. Anything I tell you is from the Spirit of God. And what am I saying again? You, success is guaranteed for you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In life, you will never be average.
Amen.
That's what I'm making. You will never be average. Let me tell you, the kind of wedding gifts you will give your children is houses and, you know, people looking for cars. You will be dashing them out as wedding gifts. So your friend's son is getting married. You can't go. To ensure that they are not angry. Toss them, you know. This is an automotive policy. It's coming to Nigeria. Just tell them, no sin. Yeah, good, thank you. No sin. Go and deliver one of those big vehicles in front of his boy's house. And when he calls you to say, thank you, sir. You say, oh, okay, no problem. You ask your father, what's he saying thank you for? He said, okay. You've forgotten. Because it doesn't cost you anything. That is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As I said, you tell your neighbor, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's okay with you. You understand? Now, why did I go into that? I know where I digress from. So many people not understanding that they start life, they put themselves under pressure. Now, we're back to bless your descendants. Why I try to do this is to let people understand many of the pressures as people go through it. Madam is pregnant. You are looking for money everywhere. Why? She must go and deliver in America. Why? It's not because of healthcare. It's not. Let me say that to you. Because I know the fraction. What am I saying? Look, delivering in a place like US as of today costs you like $10,000. That's delivery charges. It's about that. You know, I checked that some weeks ago. And so this naira is 1.6 million naira. If you bring her half a million naira and give a gynecologist in Lagos, Abuja, Enugu, I will park his car beside your bed. You will hire two pediatricians for only your baby. Half a million naira. Half a million. That is, if you tell madam, put the pain upon me. That is. Look, so if it is money you want to spend, if it's healthcare you're looking for, don't worry about it. I'm telling you, don't worry about it. There's nothing they are going to give your baby in America that's not in Lagos. Go to Abuja. In fact, you fool there. It is all over the place. But why do people go through a lot of this hassle? And that's actually what I'm addressing. I said last time, you can deliver anywhere. If you're in the US, you're going to labor, fine. It's beautiful. You're in the UK, fine. Australia, you're in Botswana, you're in South Africa, you're in Ghana, Malawi, thank you. Rwanda, the Lord is good. Anywhere, it is well with your own baby in the name of Jesus Christ. Deliver the young man, the young woman, anywhere. But please, do not go into any kind of activity that gives God the impression that you think that you are giving this boy a future by earning him a British passport or an American passport as a little boy. It is, I say it again, arrant nonsense. That's what we're talking about. And I went all of that of no distress, because a lot of times people go, that's what sends people into distress. Start looking for things you can't afford. It's unnecessary. But we as believers, and that's what it means to be a believer, you believe something. You understand what God says about your offspring. And what I want to talk about today, all right, for the rest of the time, before we take some confessions of the Word of God, is what, I don't know which one title we use, but is the power of the blessing again, all right? And for that, let's begin. Let's just read something from Genesis chapter 27. All right, Genesis chapter 27. Now, what I want to bring out here is about the matter of blessing. And let us start from verse 1. It said, now it came about when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see, that he called his older son Esau and said to him, my son. And he said to him, here I am. Isaac said, behold, now I am old and I do not know the day of my death. Incidentally, if you read later, he died much, much later. It was long after this, more than 20 years after that, he was still alive. Because Isaac, when Jacob returned, he was still there. Now then, verse 3, please take your gear, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, so that my soul may bless you before I die. Now, you know the story here. Let's just look up for a moment while I just remind us of the story. Some of the precedents to this particular, the things that happened up to, building up to this particular one. That was when Esau sold his birthright to Jacob. And, of course, you know the negotiation. I'm not going into that in detail. It's not part of our discussion now. But the summary of it was that Esau didn't understand the gravity of that matter at that point. But Jacob did. Jacob did. And so, Jacob, you can call him supplanter or anything, but why God loved him, even though his method of going after that thing was a bit shady, was because he fully grasped the value of what he was dealing with. he fully grasped it, and Esau didn't. What happened was that, you know, Jesus said something. The kingdom of God is like a field that a man finds treasure that is hidden. And then he quickly covers it back. He goes to sell everything he had to buy that field. It's like maybe you see one part of one corner of Independence layout, all right? They tell you that the land there is going up, going for 50 million naira, you know, for 1,000 square meters. You don't have much money. You borrow from the bank. Yeah, you get my point. You beg from your father. Then while your father is not looking, you take the you know, there's one is the papers to his house that he loves. Maybe he has a few of them, the one he's not living in, and you go and sell it. You understand my point? And the man wonders what's wrong with this boy. But what he maybe didn't realize is that 50 million naira, maybe you happen to have been in one place where they were doing some negotiation, and you just realize that something is about to happen next to that place that's going to make that place worth 200 million. Do you understand? And you know. So you struggle to buy that one. And people can't understand, why are you doing this? I mean, there was a man, I won't mention the name. One of the ways he made money was that he happened to be in the seat of government, one particular, that is not him personally. I mean, what I mean is that he's not in power, but he was close to the corridors of power. And when the state was being created, he knew where the state capital would be. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he went to the state capital and bought all available land. The moment they declared the place state capital, you know the value. Instantly, the value of those plots would, you know, rise dramatically. So that's the kind of thing we're dealing with here. So Jacob, back to Jacob now, all right, was like that. He saw a plot of land. He knew the thing that was inside. So he was doing everything he could to get it. He was hunting his brother down. He was offering this young, this senior brother everything that the fellow will accept just to give him that birthright. So what you find in the scriptures narrated was the opportunity he had. I can tell you assuredly that he tried many other means so that legitimately it could be handed over to him. But his brother didn't do that until that day. So what you find is a summary of all the goings on inside their hearts. A man that didn't understand it, and a man who understood the value. So don't look at it on the surface that he deceived his brother. This is beyond deception. This is a matter of understanding of inherent value. That was what happened. But Isaac did not know what had taken place. So Isaac said, listen, now maybe he was ill at that time. He couldn't see. He didn't know what was going on. He said, look, maybe this my illness out of age or whatever is going to lead to death. Let me quickly bless you, my first son, who traditionally, all right, was entitled to the birthright. Let me bless you before I die. And then he wanted to do something. Okay, go and get me food so that I'll be in a very good mood while I'm pronouncing the blessing. If he's a modern-day Christian, he would rather fast while he wants to pronounce the blessing. Do you understand my point? But Isaac understood. He said, no. Get me something to eat. I want it to come from you. Make sure it's something I really like. My soul will be glad as I'm declaring the blessing. Now, please notice this. So that's what built up to this. But the emphasis here is that Isaac understood the importance of it. At that point, Esau did not. But by the time he was saying his best right, he didn't understand. But Isaac understood the importance of this thing, and so did Jacob. And so when the mother found out that, listen, they're about to give this thing to the wrong fellow, she now did what she did to ensure that Jacob got the blessing. Now, this is what I want you to understand. Quickly, let's go down to where the blessing occurred. We won't go through all the other things because those things are not important in what we are discussing currently. Now, look at verse 27. He says, so he came close and kissed him. That is, Isaac was kissed by Jacob, pretending to be Esau. And when he smelled the smell of his garment, he blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you, now listen to this, May God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and an abundance of grain and new wine. May peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. He said, be master of your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you and blessed be those who bless you. Now notice this. The man chose his words carefully. The Bible, listen to this, is a very small book. But it contains all the mysteries of life. Are you getting my point? What am I trying to bring out here? The thing that Isaac said here, this is a summary. If you take each sentence, it is to write a whole book on. Are you getting my point? It is just a summary. Each statement is deep. And let me say something to you, and that's what we are doing all of this, our teachings on prayer. It's not the number of words. It's the depth behind the words that we are speaking. It is a persuasion with which we are saying the things we are saying. It is our understanding of those words that we are speaking. You'll see something in a moment. Because, let's just really get down there. Now, let's just read verse 30 so we can just continue the narrative. And it came about as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob. And Jacob had hardly gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And then you know what happened after that. Then, if you read verse 33, Isaac, when he discovered what had happened, trembled violently and said, who was he then that hunted game and brought to me, so that I ate of all of it before you came and blessed him? Yes, he shall be blessed. Now, get what I'm saying. Isaac understood that, I blessed the wrong person, maybe, but despite that, he shall be blessed. I don't know what you are getting what I'm saying. Isaac understood the depth of what he was saying. He said, who was that I blessed? He said, yes, he shall be blessed. He wanted to bless Esau, but he had poured the blessing upon Jacob. And he said, despite that, he shall be blessed. Well, there are many reasons. I don't know everything. But one thing comes to my mind. Why did he say that? Apparently, there was an unction upon him. Are you getting my point? He knew when something flowed. Oh, you know, they touched Jesus Christ. And he stopped. Why did he stop? Energy suddenly left him. He wasn't trying to just stop. He tried to take a step. He didn't go. Where did my power go? Are you getting my point? He was drained all of a sudden. What happened? He said, somebody touched me. Somebody just drained power from here. And he knew, listen, just by the way, I'm digressing. Kenneth Hagin said 19 different, there were 19 specific miracles of healing, all right, that Jesus performed. That is, there were more. There were hundreds. But the ones that were discussed, you know, explained, all right, somebody walked up to him. The way they talked about it, they were just 19. Some of them are repeated in different gospels, but they were 19, all right? And he said, it is interesting to note that 12 out of those 19 people were healed by their own faith. I'm going to issue here. That woman, Jesus didn't do anything for her. He was just going his own. By her own faith, she drained power from inside him. Are you getting my point? He looked and said, what happened? Who was that? Somebody touched me. Who is the person? That is, he wasn't trying to impart anything to the person. The fellow came and drained power from him. And the woman came up and said, what happened? The woman explained what happened. He said, go. You are well. This is your faith. It's a dangerous one. You know that kind of faith. It was by her faith. I'm looking at an issue here. So you see, Isaac, all right, poured forth a blessing, and Jacob drained something from Isaac. And when the thing had flowed out of him, when Esau came back, he said, he will be blessed. Yes, I know he was not supposed to be the one to get it, but he's already healed. Are you getting my point? He's already healed. I've already poured the healing anointing into him, just trying to mix two things now, all right? That woman and Jacob, all right? Now, please follow me here as I bring out this issue. Notice something here. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry. He understood now the gravity and said to his father, bless me, even me also, oh my father. Then he said, your brother came deceitfully and has taken it away. That is your blessing. Then he said, let's just go down to something here. And he said towards the end of verse 36, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Now notice this. Isaac replied to Esau, please, this is where I'm going. Behold, I have made him your master. Please, follow what I'm saying here. Behold, you can make your children what they will be by words. Oh, please follow me. This was what struck me there. He said, I have made him a multi-millionaire. Are you following my point? I have made him successful. Behold, I have made him great. I didn't give him anything, physically speaking. But I spoke words into his life. I can't reverse it. This man was there crying. Isaac said, listen, I have made him. He's as small, physically speaking, as he was before now. Nothing changed in his life. For the next many years, the boy was suffering in the house of labor. But Jacob said, I have made him. Oh, that is my message for you today. America cannot make him. You follow my point? His British visa, passport cannot make him. The country, whether it's Nigeria or Ghana, he was born in, could not have made him. Isaac said to Esau, I, the carrier of God's covenant, the bearer of that anointing, I have made him your master. Listen, God said, why do you labor for that which does not satisfy? We spend our money, our energy on things that guarantee nothing. If we as children of God and as parents, we make our children. Are you getting my point? Life will not be able to unmake them. The man who poured forth the blessing, he recognized that this was an accident. He said, but he will be blessed. Are you getting my point? He was there lamenting. Why would Jacob do this? Boy, he has collected it. I hope you're following what I'm trying to explain here. He said to him, look at that scripture again. Verse 27. Behold, I have made him your master. And all his relatives I have given to him as servants. And with grain and new wine I have sustained him. You know, sir, as for you then, what can I do, my son? Esau was begging, don't you even have one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Now, there are many other things in there, but this is just what I want to bring out. The fact that Jacob's destiny, Jacob's prosperity, Jacob's security was determined not by the land he found himself in, not by where he was born, but that his father, who inherited the covenant and that power from Abraham, his father, the son of promise, looked at him and said, you, it shall be well with you. As able to spend energy on that which doesn't satisfy. We often spend money. Education is good. It's very, very good. But sometimes when I see parents spend money they don't have on the kind of education, I wonder why. I'm bringing an issue here. Sometimes we think that once you can go abroad and get a degree, you're made. Let's talk on the natural plane and look under the sun. As of today, 99.995% of Nigerians, including me, don't know Aliko Dangote's qualifications. If you know it afterwards, come and tell me. I don't know it. I have no idea. Right now, if they write his name, you write Aliko Dangote. RMIA. That's what you can write. Richest man in Africa. You don't know more than that. That is, the only qualification that's in your head is RMIA. richest man in Africa. Let me say another one. RBM, richest black man. Okay, RBM. RBM, richest black man on the earth. That's all you know. What qualification he has, you actually don't know. I'm not saying he doesn't have. I don't know much about him. But like I said, we're looking under the sun. Education is good. Everybody should be educated. Certificates are secondary to education. Are you getting my point? Certificate is, it should please reflect what is inside your head. Not just that you went to the one compound. One brother is not around this. He saw me the other day. He said there's a course he's doing. He wants to withdraw from it. He's doing it part time. I think it's supposed to be like about 5 or 6 years, because it's a degree course, part-time. And he has spent about 75% of the time. He's supposed to have like a year to go, but then something happened, they want to extend it by second year because of some regulations and all of that. So he asked me for counsel. I said, why do you want to pull out? He said, I've learned nothing in these 4 years. He said, I've learned nothing. I passed the exams. I've been advancing in the course. He said, but sir, let me be honest with you, I've learned nothing. We are Christians, all right? Our own way of reasoning about life is very different. The young man said he has learned nothing. Let me just leave that for a moment. I'm not going to issue here. So we find sometimes people think that my son would do well. I will set him on a specially good platform in life if I break my back at everything to give him maybe a master's from one American university or UK university, something. I just believe. So I start, look, if I have the money, it's not a problem. But I am talking about, the kind of effort you put into something shows the kind of faith you have in that thing. What am I preaching today? By faith, we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. So that the success that we see, they don't come out of the certificates that are visible. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Isaac said to Esau, I made your brother your master. That no matter what you do in this life, that boy will be superior to you. In fact, if you want to be blessed, just make sure he's your friend. And I can't reverse it. He said, who was it that came and crossed the blessing? And yes, whoever it is, we'll be blessed. That is Christianity. We understand the ways of God. And we know that what confers security, prosperity, advancement, wealth, long life upon our children is not the passport they carry. It is the blessing they carry. And that is where we must spend our energy, because I will talk about the power that Isaac has to confer that blessing. There is a power that he had. That was why he was able to tap into a kind of unction that he flowed so strongly out of him. After Jacob left, he said, the thing has gone. Are you getting my point? Whoever it was carried this thing and he has run away with it. When God wanted to teach us that, the effect of it, Jacob left the house with nothing. He returned 20 years later, having suffered. But by the time he returned, he had become a great company of people. He did not take one goat from his father's house when he was going. Please get that point. His father didn't give him money, say, let me set you up in business. He ran away from his brother. He ran away from home. He went to Laban's house. He suffered 7 years to marry one girl, another 7 years to marry another one, and then worked 6 years to get substance. This is what he didn't realize. All those years that he was laboring, he was actually working for himself. Because by the time he was living in 6 years of negotiating wages and working for his wages finally, the children of Laban said, Jacob has taken everything that belonged to our father. What makes people rich in life is the blessing of God. And when the Bible says the blessing of God makes rich, there are two ways to look at it. There is the fact that if God blesses you, you will be rich. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
But there's a second side, which is what we are discussing. And that is the fact that there is a substance called the blessing. In my mouth, as a child of God, and as a father to the small children of God that my wife bore in our home, I have inside that mouth the blessing of God. Are you getting my point? I'm not talking about God will bless my children. No, no, no. He will bless them, amen. He has blessed them, amen. I am saying that there is a substance inside my spirit which I carry around. Are you getting my point? That substance is inside my spirit. And I have the ability and also, and more importantly, the responsibility to pour it upon them. That is called the blessing of God. It's like saying that, oh, well, Hannah, you didn't come out on time. Say, yes, my father was issuing for some blessing for me. So I was waiting for him to finish having his bath. He was dressing up. And we're waiting for him. Yes, I needed to collect some blessing of God. It's as if it's a tangible substance. And the Bible says it makes rich and removes sorrows. Are you getting my point? I'm explaining to Christians. You want a safe and secure future for your children. Spend the energy wisely. What your children need more than the school you are spending all this money to send them to is that you will cause them to kneel down in the morning. I thank God for my life because he taught me that thing early. In fact, the first thing I started with was my wife. I found out from the scriptures that Isaac married Rebekah. And for 20 years, Rebekah did not bear. And then one day, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebekah's sake. I said, bros, 20 years to grab that understanding. Thank you for telling me early. Yes, he was. I learned it from him. So I told my wife, you will kneel down here. And she did. Now hear the blessing of a husband. And I began to bless her. You know, I told you, being a husband is not being a fine boy. They are two different things. Being a husband is not just, I'm older than you. Chronological age, your wife can be older than you. That's not the issue. Being a husband is not, I know book past you. Many husbands didn't read as much book as their wives. It's not an issue. Being a husband is a calling. God called you, put in an office, therefore he poured a grace upon you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to be your husband. I'm not your boyfriend. You must understand it. No, people don't realize it. All those honey, sugar, those things are added. Are you getting my point? They are added. They are the small, small things, you know, just to make life sweet. It's like engine oil. That's not a car. It's just to make it easy for the car to move. When you paint your car, Henry Ford refused to paint his cars anything but black. Any other color is expensive. Because he believed in the power, mass production. He said, look, just mix only black paint for me. But the car sold. They worked. Color is just one of those things that you just use to make you, just embellish the thing. All this honey, sugar, this color. What did I call it? Color. It's not the engine. It's color. It's the color. All this, the chrome they put on your car. That's all the sugar, honey, sweetie, all those things. Husband is not the boyfriend. He's literally a man of God. He's unctioned. You know the term to be unctioned. He has an unction upon his head. That head, teach with respect to. Don't ever hit your husband on the head. Just as a sign of honor. You can play, pull his cheek, kiss his teeth, do anything you like. Leave that up, leave it alone. Just as a sign. You getting my point? Just as a sign. And listen, let your husband pour something on you regularly. And just say, sweetheart, yes, I'm going. Check it, check it. You walk out, come for half. It's not good for you. Before you go out, you should put one knee on the floor and say, man of God, say something. Ask my wife. She does it all the time. The one that makes me laugh is, my wife said, I want to go to Onitsha. I said, what are you going to look for there? Or, I want to go here. After, I don't whine. She's dressing up. I'm almost late. I'm going. Go now. I want to go. You can go now. Say, husband, now, please, now. I want to go. I will now turn and say, it shall be well with you. Thank you. She will run. She will wait for it. If I don't want my wife to go anywhere, I just say, all my blessings inside here. Ah, lie. She's not going anywhere. I've collected this here. I'm not, God is my witness. I'm not lying about it. So periodically, I just come. No. She will come. Oh, yeah. I've been doing this for almost 15 years. Put a hand on your head. I literally put a hand. Literally. In the name of Jesus, you will prosper. In the name of Jesus, it is well with you. Your children will call you blessed. It's not a joke. It's a job. You get my point? It's my assignment. I have to do it. It's a blessing. It's inside me. I have to, God gave it to me. You hold this thing and give them. There are times, maybe we're in the room, or my daughter comes in, or one of the sons say to my kids that he's going to go, they are going to sleep. I just say, come. Give me your hand. I pray for the person. I say, now, go. Tell all your siblings. Put your hand on them and say, Daddy said, it is well with you. It is well with you. It is well with you. Then you go and lie down and sleep. If Gwenga enters my room and is low, I say, Gwenga, come. He knows already. Once I do like this, he will bend his head. I'm not joking. I hold it in the name of Jesus. You have, your name is Daniel. Therefore, I confer upon you the spirit of Daniel, the spirit of excellence, the ability to understand difficult things. It's an assignment. I tell the husband is not a boyfriend. All this reckless teasing of husband, do it first. Do every reckless teasing of that guy you want to do till you marry him. Once they say, I pronounce you husband and wife. Oh, Barry. All the equality. Adam was made from the, Eve was made from the side of Adam. Forget all that. You understand? We used to deceive you that everybody in the house is equal. Forget that nonsense. You hear what I say? As children of God, we are all the same. We know. But everything has structure. Look, I work in a hospital, all right? I'm currently the head of the department. Everybody is equal, you know? We are human beings. We are all Nigerian citizens. A huge chunk of people there are older than me. A huge chunk. A lot are younger than me. Many are my mates. But if I enter the office and I say, you can't go home yet. That's it. You're not going anywhere. Please, I want to start my leave next week. If I say denied, that's the end. You know, there's no, you have to beg me. You know, it's begging. You know, we're all equal, though. You know what I say? We're all equal. We're all Nigerian citizens, though. But inside that office, as at now, there is order. In the same manner, inside the home, there is order. I don't care whether they made you from the side of your husband or from his patella or from his ogre, wherever they made you from. The love of Christ alone makes sure he treats you well. But there is structure. And that structure is not just, people don't understand Christianity. When you are teaching this and they think you want to be the boss. It's not about being the boss. It's about the man carrying the blessing of God. It's in your custody. So you hold it with care. And everybody who wants it more respect that you are holding it. When Esau didn't understand that, you saw what happened to him. So you take that thing, we're talking about blessing your children, so let me focus on it. And you dose those children regularly. Isaac said to Esau, I have made your brother master over you. Maybe next time we'll talk about what gave him that power to do that. But today, let me just emphasize it. Isaac made Jacob master. You may say it was a call of God, but the blessing was kept in the mouth of Isaac. And Isaac knew that this thing has to be released. So when his body was beginning to behave funny, he said, guys, I don't know the date of my death. Let me not die with this blessing in my mouth. So he called Esau and said, let me give it to you. Jacob said, no, it's rightfully mine. He came and collected it. And when he collected it, Esau came. And he said, what happened? Isaac was confused. What happened just now? Somebody came here, collected the blessing, and the person is already blessed. What is going to happen to me? He said, I don't know. I have made your brother master over you. I have made all his brothers, all his relatives, I made them his servants. My emphasis, as I summarize, is the I made. And I'm saying to parents, the ability or the duty, the power, yeah, that's a good word, the power to make your children is not in your checkbook, it's in your mouth. The power to make your children is not where your wife delivers them, it's in your mouth. The power to make those children is not in the houses you live for them, it's in your mouth. The power to make those children is not to will everything over to them, it's in your mouth. If you're talking about physical inheritance, Jacob ran away from home. Esau was the one that was there physically to collect everything. But wherever he went, that blessing went after him. While he was working for Laban, Laban became very rich. When he wanted to leave, Laban said, I have divined. It's not perceived. I have divined. I went to the diviners. They prayed. They did some things. They went into trances. Whatever they did, they said, the only reason why you prospered is because Jacob was working for you. That blessing, that thing that Isaac gave him made Laban rich. When Laban misbehaved, God gave him revelation on how to make himself with himself. Why do you want to live? He said, I want to go and provide for my own household. What it means is that I want to be able to leave an inheritance for them. I need to build wealth for my own children. So he said, appoint me your wages. And they discussed the power. Oh God, you must understand this. The power of that blessing made everything work in his favor. The power of the blessing, that was why God gave him understanding on how to, on what to put in front of the animals while they mated. Listen, by faith we understand that the words were framed by the blessing of God. Are you getting my point? That's what your children need. Last time I spoke extensively on giving them a right name. I discussed that. That give them names that are prophetic. These are the things you do, you know, you put all of them together. Occasionally call that name fool, you know, we often shorten names. Occasionally give them the full one, call it in the mornings especially. Don't let your children run out of there. You spend money all the time, you know, buy them expensive gifts. See these children and let them understand. Sit down. I want to bless you. All of you, kneel down here, one by one. No, my wife can testify. When my children enter my room, sometimes as big as Akin Louis, I pull him to myself, wrap my hand around him, and put a hand on his head. I hug my kids and we play. But the hugging is not just fine boy, fine girl. No. I hug you and I'm twisting you like I'm telling you things. You will be great amongst men. It shall be well with you. The devil won't get you. You will serve God all the days of your life. As your name is, you are bearing the name of my Lord. He will bless you. He will be with you. He will stand with you in the time of trouble. Listen, all my children will do well in life. Amen. Whether I give them one dime or not is irrelevant. God forbid, I'm not going to die now. But if I were to even leave them now, they have no choice. They will do well. They will do well. Why? It is a blessing of God that makes rich. It's not the money of the father. It is the blessing of God that makes rich, not the citizenship of an individual. That is why I am not willing to exact 20 naira to give my child another passport. That is not worth anything to me. It's not. No, get my point. I'm not joking. It's not worth anything. If my wife says, I'm pregnant, I'm traveling, and then, if I go into labor, before I come back, I'll deliver in America. Fine, it's okay. I have no problem with that. You get my point? Before you became pregnant, you were going to America. So, I don't know whether I get my point. Go. In case you do not know, it's not good to America to go and have children again. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just giving us an illustration. But I'm saying that I don't count it as anything. For the simple reason that I've understood where the blessing is. The blessing is in my mouth. In fact, following the principle of Isaac, it's better for me to take that money, go to ShopRite, buy ice cream. There was one chicken strips I saw there when I took my kids there a few days ago. Buy it, sit down, chop it. When I'm full, you get my point? Who wants a blessing? Come. The first guy in front of me, I wire you with blessings. So, what happened? The daddy just chopped me, they released blessings. Really. We are teaching these things to set the children of God aright. Let me say something to you. It is important your faith aligns with the plan of God. That is the things you are thinking deep inside your heart. That's how you'll be blessed. And my duty, I told you before, my name, Bankole, means build God a house. Lively stones. Shine them to build the house of God. So my job is to ensure that the hearts of the children of God, all right, that their hearts are aligned with how God has planned for things to be for them. Because if you don't align like that, you will miss your blessing in life. This is the word of God to his children. Your children are not safer because you are hiding them in a foreign country. They are not. If you want safety for your children, pronounce it upon them. Let's read this, and then I close that teaching. We'll stand up, take a few confessions, and we're out of here. Numbers chapter 6. It's one we all know very well. I just want to read it. From verse 22. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them," somebody say after me, "you shall say to them." It is what you say to them that matters. "You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace." He said, when you do this, or when they do this, verse 27, "so they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them." Notice that what we do, how we pull the name of God down and invoke his blessing upon our children, is by what we say to them. Listen, that's what where a lot of parents make the mistake. They learn how to discipline children. The child misbehaves, you warn him, then you flog him. Which is correct. It's scriptural. Foolishness is bound up in the hearts of a child. The only deliverance method ordained by God is that rod. And it's right. But of course, everything in life, there's a proper procedure. There's a proper way to apply it. The only thing a rod can do is drive away foolishness. It does not invoke a blessing. Are you getting my point? A lot of parents, that's where they make their mistake. They apply the rod, they don't apply the blessing. The rod drives away foolishness, it does not invoke a blessing. When it comes to a blessing, it is what you say to that child. And let me say this again. Children have foolishness in them, and foolishness, folly, is temptation. Are you getting my point? What I mean is this. When they do foolishness, it's temptation to say something wrong. My message to you again today is resist that temptation, because that young man, that young woman, his or her destiny depends on what you say. So don't let the devil or the temptations that the child is giving you lead your mouth to talk nonsense. once I heard this testimony. There's this young man. Life is okay for him. He's doing well. Generally okay. But he's the only one in this in their house that things are like that for him. His siblings are not. They are just, you know, things are just uneven for the other five guys. And one day he was talking with his friend, this man of God I was talking. He said he's been wondering what happened. Why are things like this? He said that he remembered that there was a particular day their parents did something that was very, very terrible. Well, in their own perception, that was bad. And they all had a showdown with their parents, that they were already grown children, all right? And of course, after they really, really quarreled with the parents, he said him, at the end of the day, his conscience began to speak to him that what you did was wrong. So he went to his father and he prostrated and apologized and said he's very sorry. And his father said, you shall be well with you. Now when he said you, that excludes everybody else. You get my point? He said to him, you, it shall be well with you. That singular transaction is what that young man linked his prosperity to. We're not talking details about antecedents, but the summary of it, that tells a beautiful story. Father looked at him and said, you, it shall be well with you. I have experience with parents. I've seen around when we're young those days. Anyway, this is on record. When parents will talk to their children, I said, is it? They don't understand. That's the summary. Not as if they are wishing anybody well. But they think the words will correct children when you are cursing them. The way you are going. The way you are going. I'm telling you, people like you don't do well. And you keep prophesying. And you think you are one of the child. You are removing the power to do well. A rod can drive out foolishness, but it does not invoke a blessing. The only thing that invokes a blessing is the word that you speak. And let me say it again. It must be a habit from the day that child is born. Listen, those words heal diseases. Those words heal diseases. Those words heal diseases. Don't let the doctor tell you what the future of your children will be. Tell the child yourself what is inside your heart, which you discovered from the word of God. And be steadfast in it. That's why we are teaching the way we are doing, so that people will understand. So that people will understand the importance. And not just do like in the church, they say we should bless our children. Let me bless you. It shall be well. It shall be well. No. That you know. You all look at each other and say, when last did we discuss? It's been a while. Come. Stand here. Use all kinds of methods. Prophesy into their water. Let them drink. Put a finger on their head. Hug them. Do anything. But make sure constantly you are pouring forth words. If you see anything that is negative in their lives, cure it. By cure it. Fight that thing with words. The only thing you can use a rod in a child is foolishness. Beyond foolishness, rod doesn't work. Are you getting my point? A child forgets, so it's forgetful. That's not foolishness. That's being a child. You get my point? All right? That's different. That one, you forget things too much. Come, let me talk to you. You start, you know, when it's there, when it's not there, you're talking. It's our weapon. For Christianity, it's not a joke. It's our weapon. It's like, you know, I keep on saying we have so much faith in doctors. You know? If the doctor says, give this child a tablet every day because he has this disease. You know, parents don't forget. Every day, you pop it into his mouth. Every day, pop it into his mouth. Well, we know that the word of God is the medicine that child needs. For that reason, we give it to him, give it to her regularly. We make it a habit. What have I explained today? The blessing of God is in your mouth for your child, and that is what determines the destiny. Isaac said to Esau, I have made Jacob your master. Jacob had not done anything physically speaking, but Isaac said, that's what I have determined, that's what I have decided, the anointing has gone forth into him, that boy will be your ruler. I hope you got to my point. Remember, it's a school of prayer. we are teaching the children of God how to pray. We are teaching the children of God how to pray. This is how you pray for your children. And listen to me. This life is controlled by spiritual things. Those children, the events of life will turn out and ensure that every word you speak about them, that none of them will fail. You tell that, look, tell this boy, you will be a master in life. You will be outstanding. If you sense the area, if God reveals to you the area of his calling, put him on top there. How do you do that? The same way Isaac did it. I have made you a ruler amongst men. I have made you preeminent amongst your peers. That's it. That will be chasing him up and down until it reaches the top. How have we gotten my point? Let's rise to our feet quickly. Let's declare it again quickly. Just thank God. Let's thank God. Just thank God. Just say, Lord, I thank you because I have the covenant of Abraham. Like Isaac, I have that covenant of Abraham, which is enacted in the blood of Jesus Christ. Declare that. Say it loud like you believe it. Say, Lord, I thank you because I have that covenant of Abraham. Say it after me. Say, Lord, I thank you because I have that covenant. The covenant of Abraham. Enacted in the blood of Jesus. That's the real one. That is the real one. That one that was enacted. You know, Jesus said, this is the blood of the new covenant. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because I have drank that blood. And I have eaten his body. And I am part of that covenant. Say, like you believe it, the power of God is in my mouth. The blessing of God for my children is in my mouth. The blessing of God for my children is in my mouth. Therefore, I declare concerning them, it shall be well with them. They will be masters in this life. They will be above alone. They will not be beneath. They will live. They will not die. They will do the will of God for their lives. They will walk in righteousness. They will know how to do justice. They will fear God all the days of their lives. Say, the promises of God will be effected in their lives. Now say, no matter where they are born, I have made them by the word of God. I have made them great. No matter where they are born, I declare to my offspring greatness in the name of Jesus. As it is written, mark the righteous man. His seed will be mighty on the earth. I speak to my children. Mighty on the earth. That's your portion. In the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to my children. You will be mighty on this earth. Because you are the seed of the righteous. I am of faith. The faith of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I have been counted righteous by God. Therefore, I say to my offspring, you are mighty on this earth. In the name of Jesus Christ. I bless you with the blessing of God. Therefore, I say wealth is your portion. Because the blessing of God makes rich and does not add sorrows with it. Therefore, I rebuke sorrows from your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, it shall be well with you. God will be with you. The blessing of God is upon you. You will carry the name of God all your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, many people will be listening to this, so I want to lead them in a set of confessions also. All of us, let's do it, whether you've done this or not, but on behalf of those who may have done it, or if, in case you have done it, just say this after me. Say, in the name of Jesus, I cancel every negative word that I've ever spoken against my children. I cancel every negative word against their destiny. I cancel every negative word against their health. I say, be canceled by the power of the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, I purge my mouth by confession of the word of God. I declare to my mouth, you are this fountain of life. You will not bring forth evil for these children. In the name of Jesus. Say, out of my belly, through my mouth
is flowing forth
the issues of life.
Out of my belly,
through my mouth,
into my children,
flows forth
the blessings of God.
I rebuke curses.
They will not come from me,
and they will not alight on them.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Say their lives
will glorify God.
Their lives
will magnify His name.
Say, God, my Father,
will be described by the lives of these children.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Let's just give the Lord thanks in our own words.
Just thank God in your own words. Say, Lord, thank you for light.
Thank you for understanding.
Thank you for light.
Thank you for understanding.
Say, Lord, thank you for light.
Thank you for understanding.
In the name of Jesus Christ.